You should be turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verse 11. We're going through our series about what every Christian needs to know, and this morning we're going to be looking at how to have faith. We're going to be looking at really what it is and how to have it and what God does through faith. So I'll pray that you'll turn along in your Bibles with me this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. You found it. Would you look up here at me? Okay, everybody, some people still looking. Your page is rustling. That's a good thing, though. I like people follow along the Word of God and we preach. Amen? Amen. So you'll see what it says for yourself. Ready? Would you stand in honor of the reading of God's holy and inerrant Word if you're able? Romans chapter 10, beginning of verse 11. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? And that, by the word, that's just not talking about a preacher like me. It's talking about every child of God is a witness to him, to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For the Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Just the privilege of being in your house to worship you, to honor you, and to give thanks to you for all you've done for us. Pray that you'd help me proclaim your truth and the power of the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this morning by faith they would trust him and be born again in the family of God. Lord, do your perfect work in our heart. We give you praise for what you do in Christ's name. And amen. You may be seated. You know, you stop and think about what faith does. Faith brings us to salvation. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith gives us the fullness of the Spirit. Galatians 3:14 says that the blessing of Abraham come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Faith gives us the victory over the world. 1 John 5:4, and for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And then there's victory over Satan through faith. Ephesians 6:16, you probably know this very well. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then faith gives us sanctification. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness and light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are justified by faith in me. You know, it's interesting, you look at that passage of Scripture that I just read through. If you circle the word him in each one of those verses, you'll find out that over and over, Paul keeps referring to him, talking about Jesus Christ, for the Scriptures, whoever believes in him, Lord is rich over all who call upon him. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord, that's talking about him, shall be saved. Verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? It's all about faith in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of problems that a lack of faith brings. One of the biggest ones is worry. People who are shallow in their faith, have a lack of faith, or not very strong in their faith, they're going to start worrying about everything. Maybe you're a worrywart. You know, it's a sign that you're not trusting in God. You know, it's kind of like the old bumper sticker somebody had on the car one time. Ain't nothing going to come up today that me and the Lord can't handle. Well, really, it's ain't nothing going to come up today that the Lord can't handle. Amen. But it's all about faith in him, because if you don't have a good, solid faith in the Lord, you're going to worry about things. You know, we're all concerned about things. I'm concerned about our country, but I'm not worried about it because I know God in the end is going to straighten it all out. Amen? You're going to have a problem with loneliness. God seems so far away and so distant if your faith is weak and shallow. You're not going to believe that God is really there for you, and you're going to feel like you're all alone. You're fighting the battle all by yourself. And then lack of faith will bring guilt. Has God really forgiven me? Has he really given me his peace, his Holy Spirit? Is he really going to take me to heaven? Am I really saved? You know, you'll feel guilty a lot of the time when your faith is weak. And then there'll be disobedience. Because if your faith's not weak, you won't really trust God to believe what he said, so you really won't do all that he said because you really don't think it's a big issue. See, if I really believed that, I would obey it, is what some people really think in their heart. I want us to look at four things this morning out of this passage of Scripture about faith. I hope and pray that it will strengthen your faith. And if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would genuinely trust him by faith for salvation. It's not a works of righteousness we have done, by his mercy and grace that we're saved. I want you to look first off at the reality of faith. Notice again all those references to him. Every verse here points to Jesus Christ. Paul keeps pointing that finger to Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The reality of faith is it's all about Jesus. See, true faith has an object. I heard people say sometimes, well, you got to only believe, and we believe some of the movies and stuff, things and people come out with. Believe in what? Faith has to have an object. See, it's not faith that moves mountains. It's faith in God that moves mountains. Hello? Y'all with me this morning? I think Adrian's the only one over here awake, or the rest of you are still asleep. One, amen. Faith thinks positively, but faith is not positive thinking. You know, there's so much out there today. Just have a positive attitude and think positively, and everything's going to work out good. If you don't have an object for that faith, what are you resting in? What are you hoping on? See, an atheist believes in the idea that there is no God. He has faith in his idea that there is, but he's genuinely wrong. Muslim believes Muhammad told him the truth, which he didn't. A Christian believes in Jesus, who is the truth. See, Jesus is the object of our faith. And true faith grows with knowledge. You know, the more you learn about Jesus, the more you learn of his word, the more you learn about him and his will for your life, the more your faith grows. If you go down in the middle of Knoxville, not far from out there from Neyland Stadium, maybe you watch the ball game yesterday, you see where the Vol Navy parks on the Tennessee River there. There's three bridges right there before you get to Neyland Stadium. There's Gay Street Bridge, there's Henley Street Bridge, and then there's a railroad trestle, a railroad bridge. My dad used to take me to UT football games when I was a kid. My dad was plant manager at RC Cola, which was right across the river there from Neyland Stadium. And one Saturday, my dad got this great idea that rather than pay a parking fee and parking somewhere over there closer to the stadium, we would park in the RC Cola parking lot, and we would walk across that railroad trestle to the game. I don't know exactly how old I was, but I wasn't really fond of that. We started walking out across that railroad trestle over the Tennessee River there, and it's pretty high up. And I started getting real nervous. And I started asking my dad questions. Will this thing hold us up? And he said, yeah, it holds trains all the time. I said, well, but Dad, what if a train comes along? He said, well, I know the schedules. There's no train schedule on Saturday afternoon. And I said, well, what if one comes anyway? And he said, well, if you look here ever so often, there's little like porches, little kickouts to the side where you can get down off the track, down to the side if a train were to come through. So he said, if one were to come through by accident, he said, we could always get down to the side there until it went back past. You know, every question I asked my dad about that railroad trestle, you know, am I going to fall through the cracks? No, you're too big to fall through the cracks. You know, the more knowledge I learned about the railroad trestle there, the calmer I became. You know, the knowledge took away my fears. My dad told me the truth about it. I didn't have to worry about crossing that railroad trestle anymore. And after the game was over, we hopped back over there. Tennessee won, hallelujah. We just walked right across the railroad track back to the plant, got in the car, drove back without any traffic because it was all skirting traffic. Let me tell you something. The more you know about Jesus, the more you know about his word, the more it calms your fears. The more knowledge that you gain about him and his will for your life, the more peace you get. You know, if he can part the Red Sea, he can make a way for you and me, whatever we're going through. If he can feed the 5,000, the more we know he can provide for my needs and your needs. If he can raise the dead, he can surely take me to heaven. Amen? But you got to know him by faith. That's the reality of faith. It's all about Jesus. It all starts with him. It all ends with him. It all begins with him. Then there's the root of our faith. Notice in verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The root of faith is in the word of God. People say sometimes, well, I just don't have any faith. I remember a lady I was witnessing to down at Triangle years ago. We'd hired her in the office there, and I started witnessing to her. And she told me she was a believer and she trusted in Jesus, but she kept using this phrase, my faith is like saran wrap. The more I got to know her, I found out real quickly that if she had any faith like saran wrap, it wasn't much faith at all, because her lifestyle didn't exhibit any kind of faith at all. But maybe you feel like that. Your faith is just so flimsy and fragile. See, people don't know his word and they're not sure. The root of faith is in the word of God. See, faith is rooted in the word of God. I don't know about you, and maybe you watched American Idol Summit when it was on TV. And I remember one of the last few years there, they had this big deal and they were giving away millions of dollars to people around the world that were in need. And they were boasting that they'd given, Idol gives back $70 million to people. Well, that's wonderful. But guess what? If you don't tell them about Jesus, they're still going to hell. The social gospel, helping somebody with their physical needs, is good. But if they don't hear the word of God to be saved, it doesn't do any good. As Adrian Rogers said one time, all you did was give them a better life to go to hell from. Hello? We ought to help people. We need to help people. But if we don't share the gospel with people, what good did we do them? The root of faith is in the word of God. You know, many people write books on this stuff about what they call lifestyle evangelism. That is, I'm just going to let my little light shine. I'm going to live a good, godly life. And through that, maybe people come to know Jesus. Again, if you don't tell them about Jesus, it's not going to help. You might make them thirsty with your life. You might make them want to say, well, what's different about that person that they want to know? But faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Salvation is through the word of God in Jesus Christ. Hello? That's one of the reasons I'm so thankful, and I support the Gideon ministry, because they give away Bibles. They take the money that we give. 100% of what you give to Gideon's goes to purchase Bibles to be passed out either in schools around here or around the world so people can hear the word of God and be saved. The whole Gideon ministry is supported by dues that the members give for all the administration and all the costs that they have. So every single penny that you and I give to Gideon's goes to get the word of God into somebody's hand that needs it. That's why I support them so much. And faith is rooted in the person of Jesus, that he can do what he said he would do. He can save, he can forgive, he can lead, he can guide, he can walk with us. He can take you to heaven when this life is over. It's kind of like the song was saying, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. See, it's rooted in Jesus. And faith is rooted in the hearing of truth. Notice it says comes by hearing. There's two Greek words in the New Testament when it comes to the word of God. One is logos. Logos is the written word. In the beginning was the word, and the word became God. That's talking about the logos. The written word, Jesus, is the written word, and he is also the living word. He came and dwelt among us. But there's another word. It's called rhema. It's the spoken word. It's when you can read it, the logos, you can see the words. But the rhema is that when God speaks to your heart through it. I don't know if any of we ever did this around here or not, but Bill Fay started a program several years ago, and you can still get the information at Lifeway. It's called Sharing Jesus Without Fear. It's a discipleship program to teach people how to share their faith and be a witness for Jesus Christ. And one of the key components of what Bill Fay did in that teaching is this: when you share the gospel with somebody, you have them read the scripture, read Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he would say to them, what does this say to you? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Has them read it out loud. And he says, what does this say to you? Faith comes by hearing. And it's amazing when you do that with people, if you ask them what it means, what does it say to them, what they will tell you. They will tell you right quick, you can know right quick whether the Holy Spirit's speaking to their heart or not, but what it says to them. They just give you some off-the-wall answer, something like that. You say, the Holy Spirit's not working. But sometimes they say, that means I'm a sinner. That means if I don't trust Jesus, I'm going to hell. That means if I didn't, I'll be saved. See, it's in the word of hearing of truth. There's the reality of faith, and then the root of faith is in the word of God. Notice the third thing is the result of faith. See, faith is not getting man's will done on earth, but God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. If you read in Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the great hall of faith, if you would. You'll find this little phrase over and over again, by faith, by faith, by faith. Abel by faith, Enoch by faith, Noah by faith, Abraham by faith, Sarah by faith, Isaac by faith, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. And it says, and many others. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to place where he received an inheritance and went out knowing where he was going, not knowing where he was going. One of my little devotionals this morning I was reading said something, and I shared it with Adrian a few minutes ago. It was something that I knew, but I'd never just thought of it in this term. Abraham was 75 years old when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees to go into Canaan land. Abraham died when he was 175 years old. You know where Abraham lived all that time? In tents as a nomad. Place to place to place to place, never having a permanent home. What does that tell us? Hebrews chapter 11 goes on to tell us that he was a stranger and pilgrim in this world. And he was looking for a city whose builder and foundations and maker is God. He realized he was just passing through. He didn't have time to build a house. He just lived in a tent because it wasn't going to be long. He was heading home, amen? 100 years by faith, trusting God. You know, the Israelites didn't go into the land, in the promised land, because they said, well, there's too many giants in there. The people are too big and too strong. There's too many. We'll never be able to defeat them because of why they had a lack of faith. They were disobedient to God. See, faith glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. I remember a little thing, and if some of you remember it better than me and you want to correct me on it later, that's fine. But I remember when in school we learned about a little thing about King Midas. Y'all remember about King Midas? Maybe some people don't remember about him. King Midas wanted to be able to, whatever he touched, to turn to gold. And he was granted that request. But then all of a sudden, everything he literally touched turned to gold. He went to eat his food, and it turned to gold. Went to kiss his daughter, she turned to gold. Wanted to hug his wife, she turned to gold. What he thought was going to be good became a curse. You know, it's that way with us. We think if we just have enough faith, we'll have everything we want. We don't need everything we want. Hello? Do we get everything we want? There's the name it and claim it crowd. If you just have enough faith, you just believe enough in God, he'll give you whatever you want. It's all yours for the asking. Go ask Joel Osteen. Hello? Oh, by the way, he says, live your best life now. My best life's yet to come. Amen. I'm not living my best life now. He may be living his best life now. I'll leave that between him and God. Amen? But if it's all yours and mine for the asking, all we have to do is ask God for whatever we want. Who's in control, me or God? Hello? Have I made God my puppet that I can jingle on a string and say, God, you got to give me this, you got to give me that, and God has to obey my commands? Who's God in all that? See, really what it is going back to Genesis chapter 3 when Satan says to Adam and Eve, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Basically, we're saying we want to be our own God. We want to jingle the string. God, you give us what we want. We'll live our life like we want to. God, you got to do what we tell us to do. Have mercy on people that's bought into that kind of trap. See, do we get everything we want? No, God doesn't give us everything we want. Why? Because a lot of what we want is not good for us. Can I get a witness? See, if we got everything we want and we could have everything we asked for, we would make bad decisions. Those of you raised kids, those of you raising kids, you're going to find out this. You don't give your kids everything they ask for. Because sometimes they'll ask you for some really stupid stuff. Amen? I remember Tim, when he was young, he wanted a bicycle when he couldn't even ride a tricycle. And I had to be careful when we got him a tricycle because he's just liable to run the thing out in the road and get himself killed. Amen. Sometimes we don't need everything we ask for. Sometimes it's not going to be good for us. Look at our pro athletes today. In many ways, they have everything they want because they have millions of dollars. I saw the other day Matthew Stafford, the quarterback for the Detroit Lions, has got a new contract this year. He became the highest paid pro football player to this point in history. Guess how many millions he makes a year? 27 million. I don't know why I'd spend 27 million, amen? If I had it. But let me ask you something. Do they have everything they want? Do they have peace? Do they have joy? Do they have contentment? Is it always good just to have a lot of money in the bank? Is it always good to have the things we want? See, it's by faith we do God's will, and He is honored when we do that. See, we have to trust Him to do it. We have to look to Him. But here's the report of faith. Look at verse 16 again. Have they not obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Look at verse 21. But to Israel, He says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Now, we talked about Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, and all the examples of faith that He gives there. If you go back to the start of that, verse 1 and 2, it says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. See, faith is the substance of what we're looking for. It's the evidence in things not seen. And somebody says, you believe in Jesus? You believe in heaven? I haven't seen heaven. Have you seen heaven? Have you seen Jesus? I haven't seen Jesus. By faith, I believe. By faith, I believe there's a heaven. By faith, I believe there's inheritance waiting for me in heaven one day. By faith, I believe that one day I will be completely well, sinless, and whole in the presence of God. You believe that? What a glory and what a day that will be. Amen. And then he goes through in chapter 11. He lists all these, but like we just ran through a few minutes ago, all these that by faith did all these wonderful works of righteousness, fought kingdoms, slew lions, on and on. It went down through there. In verse 39 of Hebrews 11, said, all these having obtained a good testimony through faith. Now, let me just tell you right quick the report of faith. Faith begins with listening to God. Do you hear me? That's the first step. Listen. Reading the Word of God and listening for Him to speak. Reading the Logos, listening for the Rhema of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. A few times in my life, and I, you know, as husbands, we learn, guys, after a while. You know, I mean, you know, and we're not the smartest guys in the box sometimes, but sometimes we learn after a while. And sometimes Carolyn would be saying something to me, and she realized that I'm not listening very well. And she said, are you listening to me? You guys never had that problem, all right? Your wife never asked you, are you listening to me? Oh, yeah, I'm listening to you. But one day she really got me really good. She said, then tell me what I said. Ouch. What if God said that to us? Are you listening to me? What did it just say to you? Faith comes by listening to the Word of God. There's a country song, it was on the radio a few years ago. I hear you hear me talking, but you're not listening. Hello? We read it. Are we listening to what it says to us? Faith comes by listening to the Word of God. Secondly, faith continues with obedience to God. When you hear what He says, do we obey what He says? Or do we just want to pick what we want and what we choose? You know, I think most Christians live like God's Word is a buffet. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to pick out the things that I like. I'm going to get some chicken and I'm going to get some maybe macaroni and cheese and green beans and maybe a salad and stuff like that. But I am not going to touch some peas. Hello? I hate peas. Brian and Whitney, before they left, Brian's birthday was Thursday. And Wednesday night, he's from way over North Carolina. He loves collard greens. How many of you like collard greens? Uh-oh, Mississippi boy for sure. Can I be honest and frank with you? I hate those. Not that they taste so bad, but they stink up the whole house when you cook them. Hello? And if I come to a buffet and there's collard greens and peas and some of that green stuff that I don't like, I like some things green, but not all, I'm going to leave it alone. Hello? Do you do that? Do we do that with God's word? God says, I want you to be a witness for me. Lord, I don't have time for that. I want you to be faithful in church. Well, I got other things going on, Lord. Well, I want you to be in Sunday school, studying with other brothers and sisters across, learning about the word of God. Well, you know, I'd have to get up earlier to do that, Lord. I could go on and on, but do we pick and choose what we want to obey? God says, trust in the Lord Jesus, and you're going to go to heaven, and we say, oh, Lord, I want that. Give me some banana pudding. But God says, I want you to eat some green stuff because it's good for you. It's healthy for you. It's healthy for you to trust me by faith. It's healthy for you to go through trials and afflictions that you would learn to trust me even more. Do we do that? You want to increase your faith? Get everything on the buffet. Hello? Obey whatever he says to us. Faith continues with obedience to God. Faith provides a witness for God. It goes on chapter 12 of Hebrews. It says, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, let me stop right there just for a minute. I'm not running too late this morning, so you be good. By the way, we've got a short business meeting afterward just to approve the church profile letter. But it says, so great a cloud of witnesses. There's two thoughts on what that means. One is that people up in heaven are looking over the banisters of heaven, watching us, and we're down there on the racetrack, or we're down there on the football field, or we're down there on the court, and they're all watching us, cheering us on. I don't think that's what it means. If you want to believe that, that's your business. Here's what I think. I mean, he just went through chapter 11 of all the heroes of the faith. He said, we're encompassed about with this so great a cloud of witnesses in chapter 11, who by faith worked righteousness and wrought kingdoms. I think that's what he's talking about. And he says, let us lay aside every weight. That's all the things of this life that want to drag us down, keep us from running the race with patience. But he says, the sin that so easily ensnares us. And people want to talk about, and preachers preach it all the time, what's the sin that ensnares you? What is the thing that keeps you back? What is the thing that keeps you from serving God? Let me tell you something. I think he's talking about one particular sin there, and one only. It's unbelief. You go through the whole book of Hebrews is about unbelief. They didn't trust God to go in the promised land. They didn't trust God for this. They didn't trust God for that. All the way through. And then he says, by faith, by faith, by faith. The sin that so easily ensnares us is unbelief. Doubting God. Not having faith. And he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, when we do that, when we walk by faith, not by sight, it's a witness for God. Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter is about those who walked by faith and had a testimony for the Lord. Notice too, faith glorifies Jesus Christ, who is God. He goes on in chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We didn't author it. He did. We certainly didn't finish it. He did. He's the one who came to author it. He's the one who died on the cross to finish it. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that rose from the grave. He's the one that we look to. Amen. And that little phrase, for the joy that was set before him, I don't know about you, and theologians maybe can differ in some ways about what that exactly means, but to me, it's when he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. The joy is set before him is seeing you come to faith in Jesus Christ, seeing me come to faith in Jesus Christ, seeing people out there come to faith in Jesus Christ, seeing one day all of the, God's children be gathered around him and around the throne of heaven, praising him for eternity. I think that was the joy that was set before him so that he endured the cross. He went through that horrible, horrible death on the cross because he knew what it was going to bring, salvation. See, if you believe in someone, you honor them. If I had not believed my dad about the railroad trestle, if I had not trusted what he said, in essence, I would have been said, Dad, I think you're lying. I don't think this railroad track's really going to hold us up. Dad, I really don't believe that you're telling me the truth, that there's not a train coming. Dad, I really don't think you're right when you tell me that I can be fine if I just get over the side. I would be making my dad a liar and dishonoring him. When we don't trust Jesus as believers, we're not honoring him. We're pointing a bony finger at him and saying, I don't believe you can do what you said you will do. Let me tell you something. Jesus has already walked across the trestle. And he says, it's safe. I've done made a way. Come with me. By faith, let's walk with him. Amen. By faith, let's trust him. By faith, let's look to him for our every need. And guess what? He's going to get all the glory for it. Amen. And we get to praise him. Amen. Do you know him this morning? Do you know him by faith? Are you trusting him right now for whatever trial, difficulty, test you're going through? Are you trusting him that he's going to bring you through it? If you're like me and you've walked with Jesus for a very long and long, you know you're going to go through some valleys. But let me tell you something. He'll go through them with you. And he'll carry you through. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, just thank you for the faith that you give us, Lord, to believe in you and trust in you. Lord, thank you for your word. By hearing and listening, we learn more about you and your will for our lives. And Lord, you speak to us. Lord, I pray that you just strengthen us this morning in you. That what we do, what we say, where we go, how we live, would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, help us to be like that man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That I always trust in you. Every head bowed, every eyes closed just for a moment. If you're here this morning, maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just a minute, we have the song of invitation. You just need to come and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I want to put my faith, my trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. All you got to do is come forward. I'll show you how in the Word of God you can trust Jesus to be saved. If you're here this morning, you know you're saved. You trusted Jesus, but you're going through a dark time right now. You're worried, you're concerned, you're fearful. Put your hand in the hand of him who calmed the storm. Put your hope and your faith in him. Let him walk through that valley with you. He'll bring you through. You need to come pray about something. Somebody you know that's going through a difficult time, you want to come pray for them. There's another decision you need to make. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. You know you need to be baptized. Maybe you've been coming to this church a while and you want to join this church. Whatever it is, let God have his way. Father, we praise you. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Help us to just walk by faith in you and not by our own sight. Help us to bring honor and glory to you by our lives. In Christ's name we pray. And amen. Would you stand with me this morning?